In normal high schools, your band and your orchestra don't ever mix.
Right, no, they never. And like I said,
Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something new. This is episode number 77, and we are jumping off of Catch 22 or Streetlight Manifestos, Keysby Nights, and this is yours, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about ska before, but yes. This record is a little different. It is a little bit post-third wave, which is what we were just talking about. You almost hear a little bit of that, what's going to come in the 2000s of that kind of more mellow, almost emo kind of sound coming through some of the record, but it definitely retains some of the poppiness and some of the, you know, listen, if you're a ska fan, you're going to listen to the record and go, hey, it's ska, it's awesome, you know, but it definitely, it's a little more subdued. It's not quite as wild and out there and silly.
When you say it has hints of things to come, what popped into my head while you were saying that, Pharmaceutical Bandit's first album.
Yes.
He sounds like Panic at the Disco on top of a ska band.
Yeah, he does.
So, yeah. So, go ahead. Sorry.
It's fine. No, we can talk about that because I like.
Yeah.
I never called them the Pharmaceutical Bandits. I always called them the RX Bandits.
I always called them RX Bandits, but at some point I saw them referred to as Pharmaceutical Bandits, and I've been confused ever since. I always said RX Bandits, kind of like BMX Bandits.
Right.
And I'm sure that was where, I don't know. I don't know band etymologies per se.
Right. Yeah. Like I wasn't, the thing with a lot of these bands is that they weren't nationally touring bands,
right?
So they didn't really like their name didn't quite get around,
and that's one of the amazing things about third wave ska. You know, it was a movement that basically popped up in Orange County, which was the focal point. But at that point, when in what 95, 96, when it popped up big,
right?
Bands like Operation Ivy and Mighty Mighty Boss Tones had laid the groundwork nationwide.
Right.
Where this was an underground movement that was happening nationwide.
Yeah, which is really the cool thing about it.
So when it pops up in the OC, then suddenly you have Sublime down in San Diego. You have freaking Less Than Jake in Florida. You have Mustard Plug up in Michigan.
Yeah.
You have... Across
these guys up in New Jersey that are out.
Across
the
country, you have these bands popping up and they're fully formed and they have all of their,
their
content
some spit and polish on it. Yeah, they're ready to go.
The content ready to go. And that's where this third wave came from, was all of these bands who we were just putting out an album this year anyway.
Yeah.
So it was all coming out. It wasn't the slow burn, you know, the slow burn after Nevermind that grunge was
happened, right.
And also didn't have the geographical center of the Seattle movement there.
Right. And that was, again, that was one of the really cool things about it, is that there was a lot of these bands formed after listening to Op Ivy and listening to some of the kind of...
I mean, Rancid sounds almost exactly like them.
I know. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
But also, after the... after the emergence of Green Day that brought punk to the mainstream.
Right.
Which did that. You had friggin' The Offspring came out in, what, 94?
94.
With Smash. And, you know, What Happened to You is on there.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that. And that is a ska song.
Oh, yeah.
That is 100%. A straight up ska song.
100%.
But the rest of the record isn't. So, you know, you have this what became a mainstream punk release that has these seeds that everybody's hearing.
Right.
That preps you for 2 years from now.
Right. And I mean, if I remember correctly, and Out Came the Wolves, which was Rancid's kind of nationwide, it was their hit record.
Yes.
That came out in 95, I think.
Yeah.
And so I think what happened was a lot of these, you know, it got distributed throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these bands heard And Out Came the Wolves and was like, man, you know, this is cool. And so they started sort of doing something similar. And while there's not as many ska elements on that record, it's...
But Ruby Soho was big.
Yeah.
And that is...
Right.
That definitely has the what, reggaeton beat.
Yeah,
to
for
it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have an Out Came the Wolves that comes mm-hmm. out, and it's got a lot of these ska and reggaeton elements to it, and it doesn't take a lot of deep dive research to get into earlier Rancid stuff and into Op Ivy.
Yes.
And so these bands probably, I mean, I can just imagine that they heard this and was like, yeah, we want to do this. We like this sound.
Right. And you know, Boss Tones had been around for quite some time.
Yeah, since the 80s.
You know, and they had their friggin' Boston spin on it, you know?
Right.
And you know, and these bands had seeded it, and they had enough of a regional feel to where they were in their local scene.
Yeah, I mean, Boston ska sounds totally, well, mm-hmm. not totally different, but has its own unique elements.
Well, and I'm sure...
To SoCal ska and to Florida ska.
And it lent to derivatives of, like, the Dropkick Murphys and stuff like that.
Right.
It's more of a you know, Irish folk
it's
punk.
The working class, you know. But I mean, even when you get into like Big D and the Kids Table, you know, very much like DIY punk, mm-hmm. we do our own thing. Like, I think these kids dropped out of like Massachusetts, like the Boston Conservatory of Music, to do all this sort of stuff. So I mean, it's
we've said in the past on other podcasts that, you know, the best place to put a ska band together is at a
music school.
Is at a college that has music, because where else are you going to find a friggin' trumpet player,
a saxophonist, a trombone player? I mean, it's you want to find a tuba, you got a couple.
Exactly. So yeah, they usually end up popping out of
college towns.
And specifically, usually, you know, music college towns. Yeah, and you have, you know, up in Boston, you have Berkeley and all kinds of...
New England Conservatory,
exactly.
Berkeley,
yeah.
All sorts of musicians and...
Musicians. Yeah.
Talent.
And, you know, in SoCal, you're going to have... You've got the music industry there, so you have people...
Right,
always.
And I mean, you've got USC and UCLA, have, you know, and Stanford has big music programs, I mean... If you're going to form a, you know, I don't know what you know about the Stanford Marching Band, but if you're going to form kind of a punk, you know, middle finger to everybody mm-hmm. ska band, Stanford would be perfect because their marching band is essentially that.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, that's because we always, we tried it in college. We were like, hey, you know, let's let's get some people together on a band and get some horns and play some ska, because if I have to sit there and listen to your 5-minute trombone concerto, gonna get some use out of you.
Yeah,
let's do some stuff.
Can you just kind of blare it on the offbeat?
Yeah.
Can you just you don't even need to sustain anything? Just no. Dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
Can you just do that?
Yeah. Just offbeat syncopation. You're good. but yeah, because it was always fun.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, just play it on the beat. We'll time shift it in the mix.
Yeah,
it'll be okay.
We'll fix it in post.
If you can't do it.
Well, and I mean, it was funny because my college, there was definitely a split in the music department between the vocal majors and the band players.
Okay.
And we didn't have an orchestra, but in high school, my dog, she just doesn't care.
Yeah. And go.
But no, I mean, in my college, it was kind of a, like, we all knew each other, but it was very clicky. And in high school, mm-hmm. also, the choir didn't really hang out much with the orchestra, and the orchestra and the band only sort of, like, hung out during symphony.
You had a symphony, and nobody else has that.
Nobody else had a symphony orchestra. Like, we were the unicorn amongst public schools, because we had a full, like, 115-piece symphony orchestra.
Right. Yeah, in normal high schools, your band and your orchestra don't ever mix.
Right, no, they never, and like
all.
I said, outside symphony, we never mix.
Yeah, it's like, I don't even know who was in the strings program.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know who was in chorus, because you didn't have shared concerts.
Yeah.
You know, you just,
no, we didn't. Yeah. I mean, the orchestra had its own, like, big end of the year show,
mm-hmm.
and the band had their own big end of the year show, and so did the choir. So, but yeah, I mean, I fully understand. Like, I did not go to a rich high school, but uh-huh. I went to a high school with a phenomenal music program. So, yeah, like, I get it. When I'm like, oh yeah, my high school symphony orchestra. What do you mean? Oh, were you in symphonic band? Because I get that a lot.
Yeah.
Were you in symphonic band? No. We're talking strings, horns, drums, percussion, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I was in symphonic band.
Yeah.
Which is normal.
It's a normal band.
You fucking weirdo.
Yeah, no. Dare me play string things. But, yeah, it just wound up, so it was cool, you know, because we were trying to just sort of get everybody together and hang out and, you know, be friends. And that was, you know, we can get some of the vocalists in with some of the horn players and some of the percussionists.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of kick back and have a good time.
So
ska brings people together.
But that completely failed. And
it did.
You are not currently a member of a ska band.
I wish I was.
Yeah. The boy band did better than the ska band.
Unfortunately.
That's sad.
I know. Well, I mean, it was a Baptist college, so you figure everything's on like a 10-year delay. Or at least like a 5-year, like, societal
I mean, it's
delay.
Not as bad as Canada, but it's a Baptist college.
Yeah. 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 It's a Baptist college.
They probably had a killer ska band in 2005.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they did. I bet they did. The third wave's finally hitting the shore over there. But,
So, yeah, the Keesby Nights.
Yes. It was I think it's the only record that Catch 22 ever released with, like, their original lineup. So it does hold kind of a.
Okay.
Amongst, like, them and Streetlights fans, it's got, like, a very hallowed place because it's the original lineup. And
okay.
I don't know when ska people became hipsters, but they are sort of hipsters about ska things.
Hipsters have always existed.
That's
don't
true.
Tell anybody.
No, it's totally true.
Do not tell the hipsters that they are just...
They're not the first hipsters.
They're not the first hipsters.
I know. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
This isn't new. None of this is new. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, it's all been done before. Welcome to being old.
You are not original. No. I'm sorry, hipsters.
It's cool to like your thing, whatever your thing is. Super cool to like it.
Just don't be shitty about everybody else's thing.
Right, but you're not the first person to having a nice haircut and, you know...
When you say nice haircut...
I'm talking
I know you're not
like,
talking about the Hitler Youth haircut.
Oh, God, no. No, I meant getting a nice hair. Have you seen, like, the, like, hipster, like, men's barbershops that have been popping up all over the place?
No, no.
There's 3 or 4 of them.
Okay.
Like, old school, like, straight razor shave. Like, okay, you like getting a nice haircut.
Okay.
I do, too.
Okay.
But you didn't invent the nice haircut. Like,
No.
My grandfather's, like, best friend was who owned a barbershop back home was giving me that haircut in, like, 1991.
Yeah.
It's cool. You're not.
And he was old and had been doing it for 40 years.
Right.
At that
like,
point.
Yeah. Like, this dude was using the old school, like, Sweeney Todd razor to, like, give you a shave. It was amazing.
If it's not rusty, it's not real.
No, it wasn't even that. Like, it wasn't even rusty. It was just, like,
I know.
I think he got that straight razor in, like, the 50s.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's still super sharp.
Yeah, and he sharpened it every night. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. So, I mean, it, you know, it's.
Yes.
It's all been done before.
It started off looking like a butcher knife. It was down to a friggin' pocket knife by the time you got there.
Right,
yeah.
So, money all day, you know. Yeah, just give you a great shave. But no, I mean, it's a good record. Like I said, I'm a fan of it. I like Streetlights' later work a little more than I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
When they reformed into Streetlight, they got a little bit more of the...
Well,
Catch 22 is a little too moody for me.
Okay.
When I want to listen to ska, when I'm in the mood for ska, it's summertime and I'm happy and I just kind of want to bounce.
Okay. And well, going through this record, it is, the sound is a little more inconsistent than I'm used to on ska records.
Yeah.
Normally it's either you have horns on every song or you don't.
Right.
And this one, they kind of mix and match and there's heavier songs. There's songs where they sound like Lagwagon. There's songs where they sound more, you know, more light and upbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. This was definitely an album from a band trying to find its sound.
Right.
Quote unquote. I'm using air quotes. But yeah, it is a band trying to find its sound, and they were experimenting with a lot of different stuff.
And you know, and this is, I feel like this band is kind of a product of the post-third wave kind of movement, which basically sustained itself through, you know, Jackass clips and Tony Hawk freaking video games.
Oh, I love, I used to love Tony Hawk video games because they had the best soundtrack.
Yeah, exactly. And these are songs that would have been on those soundtracks.
Right.
And that kind of, that upbeat punk was kind of proliferated and sustained due to the fact that suddenly you had these awesome skating games and on the new platforms, the PlayStation.
Yeah. And the,
you could put a condensed audio file and actually have songs in the background of your games.
Right, right. And like I said, I mean, those games were awesome. And then it also, what was perfect for kind of at least my personal like growth in listening to this kind of music was I could hear it in the Tony Hawk game, mm-hmm. and then I could go over to my computer and download it on Napster.
Right.
And like listen to everything that this band has done.
See, but you know, before the Tony Hawk, before the Pro Skaters came out,
yeah.
Basically it's emulating the experience of, everybody going out with a boombox and skating.
Yeah.
But at that point, you were listening to tapes of your local bands.
Right.
And this kind of brought the local band music, but it was nationwide. So it spread the word of these small bands that you wouldn't have heard otherwise.
Yeah. And I mean,
and like you wouldn't hear now.
Right.
Because, anyway.
Yeah. Music and video games has gotten terrible.
Uh-huh.
And are they supposed to, I've heard they're releasing another Tony Hawk. But I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
But
the thing is, if they do, there's going to be, big major label bands vying for spots on the soundtrack.
Right.
For nostalgia's sake. And they're going to be trying. Yeah. And it's just not going to be the same.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I want to hear like Voodoo Glow Skulls on my Tony Hawk game.
Right. Because
that's SoCal, like San Diego punk.
Right.
That's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to hear, I don't want to, piss on the Warped Tour, but I don't want to hear some, hardcore band that's, all 19 years old that's fresh off their first trip on the Warped Tour. That's not Tony Hawk to me.
Do they put new bands on the Warped Tour? I thought the Warped Tour was the old people tour now.
No, it's not. Actually, I think...
I thought that was where bands go to die.
This is the last year of the Warped Tour. What I really think brought it down was because they started bringing in the newer bands,
okay.
But it wasn't their audience.
Well, but the thing is, the older bands' audiences were aging out, out of going to a huge festival environment.
Right.
You had to bring in the newer bands, but the newer bands aren't right for a Vans Warped Tour. The
Vans Warped Tour, because I've still go every single year and have gone, I think, with one exception, every single year since I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, this would be my, 18th and final Warped Tour this year. Over the past few years, they've started, you're right, the chorus, people my age have started aging out of going to all-day shows.
Yes, yeah.
Which, I mean, for a couple of years there, they were trying to have like nostalgia bands on there and trying to draw out like my age.
Yeah, they brought out like Save Ferris and
right,
bands like
right.
that.
Right, Save Ferris was on there last year.
Right.
And they put on a decent show.
Yes.
But they started bringing in it quit becoming so much of a punk festival as mm-hmm. it was. Like, it was a lot of hardcore music.
Okay.
One year they had like a nothing but EDM stage where they were like, it was just a little all-day EDM show.
And that's how you get the young folk.
Right. But the problem, because I was reading an interview with the guy who's over the whole show and has been since the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And he said, it's just, the problem is, as old curmudgeon man as it sounds, he said, a lot of kids these days won't go to shows like this.
Right.
They'd rather sit at home and listen to the music instead mm-hmm. of come out and listen and go to shows.
Basically, underground music has become so compartmentalized.
Yeah.
You have your local scene, but, and it's almost like the national stage for underground music is so flooded.
Yeah.
That you can't, there's no separation.
Yeah.
And I mean, so people just support their local scene, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Your local bands get support, but, there's no breaking through the ceiling to a national audience.
Well, and I mean, and that's to me what Warped Tour originally was. Like, it was a place for me to hear mm-hmm. bands I would never get to hear otherwise.
Right.
And see them live and get to listen to their music.
And it's what Lollapalooza was before that.
Right.
But just, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And Warped Tour was the only one left.
Right.
Like, that was kind of the other thing that they were saying was, this is the last of the national tours.
Right.
You know, the national all-day festival things. And, you know, that's why they were kind of sad to see it go, but it's time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but every year, and it's still to this, you know, it doesn't matter. Every year, I go to Warped Tour and I find a band that I've never heard of before.
Uh-huh.
I will see them play and I will really like them.
And you'll give them like $10 for a record.
Yeah, I will. Or I'll buy a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, and it's, then I start following that band. And if they come back around, I'll go see them again.
Yes.
You know, and it doesn't matter if it's pirate metal like it was this last year.
Arr.
Dude, it's such a fun show. But, you know, there's always a couple bands that I want to see that I've seen before and that I really like. But then I always block off time to see bands I've never seen before. Because you'll find some diamonds in there.
Like, yeah,
there's some really, really good bands.
Yeah.
I think the first time I saw Avenged Sevenfold was on the Warped Tour.
But we're talking about good bands.
I know. But, I mean, I say this because they went on to have, like, massive mainstream
bands. Yeah.
But I think I saw them playing on the same stage that, like, my buddy's band was playing on, which was really a flatbed truck that they had pulled up.
Right, right.
And set up everybody's equipment on. So, I mean, it's given a lot of people a start.
Right.
Hell, Eminem was on the Warped Tour at one point.
Yeah.
So it's always been about a little more than, you know, just
Yeah, I mean, punk. It's still, you know, it's a corporate-sponsored event.
Right.
So, you know, but it's sponsored by Skate Shoes. So, you know, there is some
targeted marketing
to it, it's targeted. It's all a marketing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Thing.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But I still love it. And they always make sure to have at least like one ska band on Warped Tour every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, last year it was Save Ferris and it was good, but usually they would have either every year for a while, it was either Less Than Jake,
mm-hmm.
or it was Real Big Fish.
Yeah, yeah.
One or the other. Usually one played one year, one played the other. Occasionally the Boss Tones would show up.
Well, and they're both playing this year.
I know. Real Big Fish and
Less Than Jake. So.
My luck, they'll play at the same time. Because it always happens.
That would be awful planning.
Dude, I'm telling you, every year I always have three or four bands that I want to see at Warped Tour, and it never fails that two of them play at the same time. So that will be my luck. Like, I'm going to sky out one last time as a grown-ass middle-aged man. And they'll play at the same fucking time.
This is the ska 2 hours. We're going to put every ska band on stage right, at the same time. Because, you know, nobody wants to go around and see all of the ska bands. They just want to see one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So, but like I said, I mean, I've always enjoyed... Warped Tour holds a near and dear place in my heart. I got into punk music because of the Warped Tour.
Yes.
So, if that was their marketing, it worked.
Yes, because of Jackass and Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah.
Jackass, but here was the thing that the Warped Tour did, and they still do it, but the original ones, the first 3, 4, 5, 6 years of them are amazing.
Yeah.
The Warped Tour compilation record.
Okay.
There's always 2 CDs.
Right.
They crammed as much music as they could literally fit on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a sample of every band there.
Yeah.
I never liked every song, but you could always find 5 or 6 that were just gold.
Right.
So, like, I'm going to miss that.
Well, the late 90s was the golden age of the compilation CD.
Yeah, it was.
Especially in the punk genre.
Yeah.
Because, Fat Records and all kinds of little record labels were putting out just, you know, 30-song compilations of these are every
band we've signed.
Yeah, every band that we've signed. And you go through and these are the best song from every band they've signed.
Yeah.
And sometimes you go through and you find this great song that's the only great song that band ever made. But sometimes you go through and you find bands that you wouldn't know otherwise.
Right.
So, like, Link 80's friggin' Verbal Kent is an amazing song.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I have to say about Link 80. But Verbal Kent is an amazing song.
Well, it's funny because the sort of next thing that they started doing after that was they were having these like Punk Goes Pop records.
Yeah, yeah.
Punk Goes Metal. Hey, you talk about the Pharmaceutical Bandits. They, on the first, I think it's the only Punk Goes Metal record, They did a version of Holy War.
Okay.
By Megadeth.
And
it's an absolutely phenomenal version.
There is...
I like it better than the original.
Yeah, there was a tribute slash compilation album called Metallica, which was all ska bands doing Metallica songs. I had that in Japan for a little while.
Yeah, I need to find, you had,
because that was also the time when you would buy CDs and give them 800 listens and then sell them. If it just wasn't staying in your rotation, it just it fed you for a day,
But that's where I got into the pharmaceutical bandits. I'm like, band is really good. And I mean, they do everything from, playing the fast guitar riffs and then they slow it down with that old school reggaeton beat. And I'm this band's really good.
Yeah, and I ran into them on the freaking the listening wall, which was a thing.
Yeah. I remember that.
At Sam Goody in Okinawa.
One nasty pair of headphones that everybody wore.
Yes. Basically, you had a listening wall where, each little station had like 5 or 10 CDs that you could skip through and listen to it. And you'd go to the record store and you'd sit there for hours and pick through and find new bands that, somebody on staff liked,
Yeah. And that's... I don't know. I think we've lost a lot of that, and it's been bad for music.
Yeah, and now the closest thing to that is the curated playlist on Spotify, which is, the same concept, but blown up to 800 million.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think music has suffered a little bit because of that. You don't have... For as much as, I don't want to hold, your local record store guy responsible for, getting new music out to people...
Mm-hmm.
If you have enough record store guys putting up these listening wall albums,
but we don't have record stores. We don't have national chain record stores anymore.
It's true.
I mean, you have your little, your little ma and pa places left, but the national chains are all gone.
That's true.
I mean, Best Buy is stopping, selling CDs. So
yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah,
but I mean, people aren't buying them, so I also understand.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
It's. Yeah. I wish I could say people need to buy records and the only new album that I have actually purchased all year was yours on tape.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, wait, I didn't get that purchase. Oh, okay. You bought the tape.
Yeah. I bought the tape.
The tape isn't the entire album.
Oh, well, I have the tape because my truck has a tape player. And so I listen to it.
Does it sound okay on tape?
Yeah, it sounds fine. Okay. Yeah, it sounds good.
Because it was recorded on an old stereo.
Yeah, it sounds fine.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was like, cool. I'll just, put this in the tape player.
Yeah, that was actually, the entire album wouldn't fit.
Right.
It's the 8 songs that we played at our first show.
Yeah.
Happened to fit perfectly. So that's what's on the tapes. There's a few left. If you're in the local area, come out March 25th and watch us play, and you can pick one up.
Yeah. Come out the day after our fantasy baseball draft, because we can't get those two things.
Yeah, because
those two streams can't cross.
Joe tried to put the fantasy baseball draft while I was on stage, and I said, wait. I know I'm awesome, but this is a dynasty league, and you're setting me up for failure for years.
Yeah. I know, right? But yeah, so...
I know you need to handicap me, but fuck you, man.
I know, right? Oh, that's funny. But yeah, so, I don't know. I guess now I am a curmudgeonly old man. People need to buy records. And,
people need to buy records. And
stay off my lawn.
Damn it, why are you getting rid of my Warped Tour?
I know. Why are you getting rid of my Warped Tour? How dare you not make money? You need to sell your house so I can keep going one time a year. The Warped Tour.
Yes.
So...
Do we have anything else? Any closing comments on Keysby?
I guess not. I mean, it's a good record. It's a good record. Yeah. The Streetlight record is a little better.
Okay.
If only because it had a little more production value.
Maybe more unified.
Sound. A little more unified sound and a little more, they were just more experienced at that point.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, both records are good.
Okay. I listened to the shittier one, apparently. Thanks, yeah. Man.
No problem. Why did you get the authentic experience?
The authentic. This is pretty good, but it could be better experience.
It could be.
Okay. Well, keeping on the theme of 20-year-old things, for next time, we are going to jump off of Dark City.
Nice.
Yes. Which, maybe it'll hold up. Maybe it won't. I don't know. I haven't watched it in about 10 years.
Cool.
But, yeah. So, we'll jump off of that. And I am at Woodle on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. You don't have Instagram anymore. Because I don't have Twitter anymore. So, I'm that Joe you know on Instagram. Come look at pictures of my dogs.
And we will talk at you next time.
In the middle of our podcast.
And we'll talk at you next time.
Toast.